The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to the tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance. So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do with those tenants? They said to Jesus, the owner will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the dominion of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of it. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because the people regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Chicago, the windy city, as it is known. It's also known, especially recently, as the city of guns. There were more than 4,000 shooting victims in Chicago in 2016, a 61% increase from 2015. Most of these were due to a significant rise of gun homicides, especially from the also rising gang activity in the city. And this, along with deep problems in the Chicago Police Department, has created a deep sense of fear nationwide and especially in the local communities within Chicago. Dr. Gary Slutkin, an infectious disease doctor, of all things, working at the University of Illinois Public School of Health, found a couple years back an interesting parallel between gun violence and infectious diseases. In an interview, he says, basically, one of the main predictors of gun violence was if there was another major incident that happened before. This is exactly, he describes, the way that an infectious disease behaves around the world. So in other words, looking at mass spread of gun violence across the United States is very similar to looking at the spread of an infectious disease. So thus, Dr. Slutkin, about 5 years ago, formed a group called Cure Violence in Chicago. And the pillars of this organization are, Slutkin refers to as healthcare workers, interestingly. They are also known as violence interrupters. Violence interrupters are a gang of community mediators on call and walking the streets 24/7 in order to help work through small conflicts before guns can get pulled. Because when small conflicts can be mostly mediated, the theory goes, it prevents the disease of gun violence from blowing up. Well, Slutkin's efforts seem to be working. A recent National Institute of Justice study showed that statistically significant results across all seven Chicago communities that Cure Violence was working in, a reduction in shootings from up to 41 to 73%. I bring up the story of Cure Violence in light of a tragedy I know that we are all still reeling from. 1 week ago today, a shooter with more than 20 semi-automatic rifles mowing down a crowd of concert goers in Las Vegas, killing 59 and wounding hundreds more. A tragedy that, as one college student said to me at an Emmaus campus ministry meeting this past week, how on earth do we respond to this continuing bloodshed? How do we respond? Well, maybe this parable of Jesus and the vineyard tenants can shed some light. This parable is a violent one in its own right. Tenants of a vineyard who have a massive misunderstanding of squatters' rights and who would do anything, even kill people, in order to keep their place. One of the most careful, we must be, I think, careful of this story because I think it has historically been interpreted in ways that may or may not be helpful for us. There is, like of many of Jesus' parables, a common interpretation, which maybe many of you have heard referring to this story. It kind of goes like this. Well, the vineyard owner is God, and the tenants are the Jewish leaders, and the son is Jesus. So the Jewish leaders were the evil tenants, and the fruit of the harvest must be taken from them and given to other tenants, namely the church. So thus, in this reading, we can comfortably and easily put ourselves in the role of other tenants, enjoying the fruit of the harvest or eternal life, and God punishing the Jewish leadership, maybe even the Jewish people, for messing things up. Done. What a nice, comfy reading for us Christians. If only from my perspective it were true. I honestly have a great suspicion of scripture interpretations which make it sound like we are true heirs and can sit back in our lazy boys and let the eternal life just roll in. That's not where I believe the gospel message lies, nor is it in line with the basic understanding of God's love for all of creation. Another way, maybe, to read this parable is through the lens of the psalm that Jesus quotes, Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected is now the cornerstone. You see, Matthew's community lived in a time of great violence and faced the horrible problem of picking up the pieces after the Roman army came and wiped out all of Jerusalem and the entire temple. So the community of Matthew, along with the entire ancient Jewish world, was looking for blame. Who can we blame now? Who can we get revenge upon? Blame that could be heaped on the religious leaders or on those, of course, that caused the rebellion in the first place. Well, Jesus offers a different way and something almost entirely new. The vineyard itself is no longer important. Blame for destruction of the temple is pointless. The vineyard is not a physical place, but the kingdom of God, which is referred to again and again. And Jesus continues to define the kingdom of God as God's action and vision for the world. God's action and vision for the world. And here's the kicker. This vineyard is opened up to other tenants. Tenants who do not bear and share fruit are rejected in the kingdom or the vineyard, the vision and action of God for the future of the world is open to all. Here is what I think is important for us in seeing the vineyard as the broader kingdom of God. The rules of engagement change when you open things up. Following three servants being sent away in the midst of escalating violence, we of course would expect the vineyard owner to bring wrath, bring revenge upon these wicked tenants. But the owner instead chooses vulnerability. He sends his son, in fact, unarmed. For me, the story makes it clear that there is no room for violence in the kingdom of God. There is no room for violence in the action and vision of God's world. Violence only leads to violence. And the purpose of the vineyard owner's action is to show a third way. In sending his son, the vineyard owner hopes then to remind the tenants of their humanity and empathy, and that they might feel some shame in the presence of vulnerability. This is what our gun-paranoid society, I think, needs to hear. This is what maybe we need to hear. How do we respond to violence with humanity? One of the violence interrupters from Cure Violence in Chicago was a woman who lost her own daughter to gun violence. And so she has devoted her life to walking the streets of her neighborhood, and in doing so, she's formed relationships and community bonds from gang leaders of two distinct competing gangs in her community. And she would often make these bonds because she worked in a bake shop, and she would bring them cookies to establish some kind of discussion. In 2015, two of the major gangs were on the brink of gang war in her neighborhood, and not even the Chicago police mediators felt that they could stop it. So this woman called the two gangs together to her house in inner city Chicago, and with cookies on the table, she was able to hash out a peace agreement that has lasted now for over 2 years. An end to violence happening with the exchange of cookies. A third way. St. Francis of Assisi said once, "A single sunbeam is enough to drive away many shadows." One of the many blessings I think of our pets and animals are that they keep us human. They give us that sunbeam, perhaps, whether they lick us in the face by waking us up in the morning, or get excited for a walk, or curl up on the couch with us. Animals, especially pets, can bring out in us a sense of humanity, a sense of humility. So maybe it's particularly timely that we are having a Blessing the Animals Sunday, this Sunday. Because at the end of the day, maybe we can look to our animals to help us keep our humanity in light of such a catastrophic world. Yes, there needs to be changes to gun laws, to violence that our kids are witnessing, to mental health care, to a lack of a future for many of these neighborhoods overcome by guns, to our society's love affair with military weapons. Those all need to change. But if we don't take the vineyard owner's actions of humility and humanness, we become the tenants who only use hatred and violence to get in their way. And so, may we walk with God, with our pets, maybe even a few cookies, with all creatures of this creation, and proclaim the gospel message, the message that is so needed right now, of grace and of love for the world. Amen.